All right, this is May 9th, and the topic tonight is witness.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's nice to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. I hope that's finally sinking into everybody that they are connected to this thing that we call God, or you're connected to the universe. We're connected to everything. It's absolutely amazing when you can get that through your consciousness that you're connected to, you know, a cockroach. You're connected to everything. It's all one life, the life of God. So try to remember that. I found these two cards in my basket. It's my handwriting. And I don't know if I ever used them or not, so if I did, you'll hear it again. We have been hypnotized by our cultural history into believing we are less than the expressions of God. This is by Joel Goldsmith. I don't know if you people know Joel Goldsmith. He wrote quite a few books, and he was a unity minister, Joel Goldsmith. So we have been hypnotized by our cultural history into believing we are less than expressions of God. And that's exactly true when you think about it, too. And I don't know why that is, but it keeps perpetuating itself out there in the world, because no one wants you to know how powerful you are. No one wants to know that. And then here's a little thing, and these are just statistics. One aura got them, but here it is. 84% of the population belong to an organized religion. 84%. 5.7 billion people on the planet. Out of those, 2 billion Christians. Muslims, 1 billion. Hindus, 850 million. Buddhists, 400 million. There are 10,000 distinct religious subdivided. 10,000 distinct religions, I guess it is, subdivided. I didn't know we had that 10,000. But now here's the one that gets me out of that 10,000. There are 34,000 different denominations. Can anyone name all 34,000? I didn't know there were so many, but there are. They're little denominations all over. Everyone wants to make a little church of their own, or they get mad at something at the church they're in and decide, well, we should do this differently, you know. Let's break off, split off. The reason why we have religious science, we have Unity, Church of Religious Science, that's one group. And then we have this international, it's called, I belong to the international group of religious scientists. Why did that happen? Over administration differences. One wanted to do it one way and one wanted to do it another, so they just split up. This happens constantly. People want their own way. And I find that very disturbing when they have to constantly change things. We wouldn't have the Lutherans if it wasn't for Martin Luther. The Catholics had taken over Europe, and they would eventually, you know, have owned everything in Europe, the Catholic Church, because they said to the people when they're dying, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. So on their deathbed, all these people signed everything over to the church. So they noticed that, of course, and the people, a middle class was coming into existence at that time. There was a lot of trading and so forth, and things were different. And the businessmen said, this cannot go. We have to stop the Catholic Church from owning everything. So they found Martin Luther and made him, you know, held him up as something. He became, you know, they made a church out of that, out of his philosophies. I was in the Lutheran church for, I don't know, 18 years, the first 18 years of my life. And what I discovered with the, which most people that are Lutherans do not know, Martin Luther wrote two books. He wrote more than two, but the two books that he wrote were anti-Semitic. He was against the Jews. No one in my church ever said, told me that where I came from. And I don't think anybody knew that. I don't think most people know that Martin Luther was against the Jews. Why people are against the Jews are absolutely beyond me. I cannot figure that out. You know, I have many friends that are Jewish, and they're the most wonderful people in the whole wide world. So I don't know why people are so down on the Jews all the time. And I think that's a horrible word. Don't you, Jew? You're a Jew. Ooh. But that's got to change one of these days, too. When? I have no idea. But that's how we got some of these different denominations and so forth. It was, you know, what the atmosphere was at the time. If the Catholics were going to own, or the church, the Catholic Church was going to own all of Europe, you know, and they had to stop that. Now, I'm under the impression, or at least I always heard this, I think Columbia University and George Washington University in New York, the land belongs to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has that many investments and that many things, you know, it's incredible the amount of money they have. And of course, you know that they own their own banks.
They own what?
Their own banks, the Catholics. You know, the Vatican has its own bank, the Vatican Bank, which controls a great deal of money. So, anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's just information for you. You can do what you want with it. I like to hear this different stuff because I never knew Martin Luther wrote two anti-Semitic books. And I doubt most Lutherans know that. You say, well, they don't know any of that. And if you go to a Lutheran church, I don't know, at least when we used to go, we were called Johnny Jump-Ups, you know, because of getting up and down all the time. Because our church service mimicked the Catholic. It just mimicked everything. So this whole thing about religion and God and all, you have to make up your own mind what you think about that stuff. All these people have an opinion about this, that, and the other thing. It's what you're thinking. And do you need to join all these things? No, never. Never. Keep to your own self. And keep your mind where you want it to be. If you go to those different institutions, they're going to try to change your mind into thinking what they're thinking, you know, that this was right and that was right. And it's not. It's what you're thinking. So anyway, now let's talk about witness. The idea of being a witness to your thinking, you have to be aware. You have to be detached from yourself so that you can see what is going on. You know, you're just watching a movie. That's all you're doing. but you think it's real and you get involved with it instead of just sitting, you see, and watching what's unfolding in front of you. You don't have to make any comments about it, and you certainly don't have to get involved with it. If you get involved with it, it's going to take you someplace you don't want to go, and your mind's going to go crazy. Now, an example of that. This week, I resigned from my position as president of our condominium association. And I was talking to my friend Gloria, and she says to me, "Dallas, what did you do? Did you get mad?" I said, "No, I didn't get mad." She said, "Did you lose your temper?" I said, "Gloria, I don't have a temper." I noticed, I witnessed what was going on. And I thought, she's absolutely right. I did not lose my temper with these people. But I noticed I got angry with her, you see. You have to notice what you're doing and then don't do it again or change it right away, you see. We can do that, but we get caught up in that. I could have gotten caught up with Gloria and said no, and then got mad and angry, yes, about the temper and all that. I know I have a temper. I've been working on it for years. When I was a child, they said, "You have a horrible temper, Dallas." I said, "Yes, I know I'm working on it." Well, I grew up with my parents. My father had a horrible temper, and my mother had an even worse temper. So I'm conditioned to those things, but I'm learning to change, you see. The point is, I noticed what I was doing and what I was saying to my friend Gloria, and I was able to change it in that instant. And that's what we're trying to do, is capture those moments before they go anywhere and notice what we're doing and change it. And change it. How many times have you gotten into an argument with somebody and halfway through the argument you say, "Oh, this is going in the wrong direction. I don't want to do this." But what happens? Your ego makes you keep right on going. You did that today? Yeah. Tell us about it. Tell us a story.
We were, I was eating breakfast with someone, and we were debating something that was of complete non-importance. And I thought I was right, and he thought he was right. And halfway through, and he kept getting more excited, and I get more excited. Then halfway through, I'm like thinking, why are we having this? I really don't care either way.
Right. And that's
ridiculous.
It's usually that. What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? You have to catch yourself and see. Some people don't. Now, that was, you had become a witness to your own thinking. So that's very good. Now you know what it means to become a witness to your own thinking. It means catching all those little games that you're playing out there. But arguments are the worst, because you get into the middle of it. You know, your ego doesn't want you to give up. It wants you to win the argument. And there's no winning in that. The only way to ever win anything, people, is to get off the battlefield. You have to walk away from it. Nothing that we're doing is that important. Nothing that we're saying is that important. We make this, our minds make a big deal out of it, you know. I'll never love that person again because they said this, that, and the other thing. Ridiculous. We're always hurting our own selves, you see. They didn't mean to do it. If they did, okay, they did. But most people don't mean to hurt other people. No, they want a peaceful life. So remember that when you start with arguments or so forth. Where is this going? And can I get out of it now? Absolutely. You just stop the whole process. Most people don't. I grew up in a family, they never stopped anything. They took it down to the nitty-gritty every time. You see? It's always going to come out the same anyway, people, so you might as well just stop it. You see? And this idea that what we're doing is important and it's not important at the same time. You see? It's important and it's not important at the same time. all those little things in that argument with your friend. And what goes on with arguments when you have these arguments or little fights or tiffs or whatever you want to call them? You usually don't remember how it started. You usually don't remember how it started. So that's becoming a witness to your thinking, and you have done it. And now you can see, from now on, you can use that. And see that in every situation. What am I doing to myself here? Am I witnessing what is actually going on? You see. And most people are automatic. They're just automatic, and they do that stuff. You know. Do you know, when I was a child, of course, I knew everything people were going to say. Now, when I make that big statement, as they were telling a story, they told it the same way. It didn't change a word or anything. I thought, I've heard this 100,000 times. Now, why did they do that? Well, I think one of the reasons, most of them were drunk. And they just kept repeating the same damn stuff over that I, you know, heard. And I didn't want to hear anything like that. But they had no idea what they were doing, because they could never become a witness to their thinking. They could never become a witness to what their mind was doing to them. Why did they not? Because they thought they were their mind. And you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use, and you must be able to see it and do things with it. But when I grew up and you grew up, there was no such thing. And in my little town, they would never admit there was anything going wrong, because the mind was scary to them. And if it didn't function absolutely right, they thought they were crazy. And they still do that today in that neighborhood. You have to keep pretending that you're all right. Now, we are all right. But those people pretend in a completely different way. And they're not watching the movements of their mind. It's all done with the movements of your mind. You must watch where your mind is taking you. And if you don't like where it's going, get rid of it immediately. Get rid of it. Don't do it to yourself. You see? And we think it's so important. The same way so many people think, if they think something, it belongs to them. It's just a thought, for God's sake. It's just a thought. It means absolutely nothing, except you're having a thought. Now you can, when you have a thought, you can decide, do I want to continue with this thought, or do I want a new thought? Most people have no idea that they can ask for a new thought. They think they have to. If it starts, they have to complete it. They have to complete every thought that comes into their mind. And you don't have to do that. I think I told you I did a sermon once called, "Just because you hear the engine doesn't mean the train is coming." And you see, we hear the engine, don't we? And we think it's got all these cars behind it. Perhaps it's just the engine. You do not have to attach cars to the engine. You do not have to attach things to your thinking. And your mind loves to do that and pulls for everywhere and builds up a great big story. And that's what it is, people. It's a story. It's just a story. You're telling yourself. Don't do stories. Learn to witness. Learn to become a witness to your thinking, so that you can say, oh, is that what my mind is doing to me? Is that what my mind is doing to me? Anytime you have any problem whatsoever, it's a mental problem. It has to be a mental problem. There's no other problems. Well, but the other problem we always have, if you're having trouble, you're having trouble because you're having a God problem, which means usually your God is not big enough. You have to kick the small God out and get a bigger God, a bigger idea of what's going on. We don't do that, do we? We think we know. I would never say I know God. I would never say that I knew all the different facets of God or all the abilities or whatever, because God is infinite, people, and you cannot put anything on God. As soon as you start to describe God, you have made God finite. And you see, you cannot have a finite God. It has to be an infinite God with infinite possibilities. And that's what our mind is. Our mind is infinite possibilities. And we are able to use our mind. We are able to become a witness to our thinking so that we can control our thinking. People are always looking for peace of mind. Well, you cannot find peace of mind when there's all kinds of fighting going on inside of your head. See, that's the idea. If you want to win, you have to get off the battlefield. You cannot attack people. Jerry read Emmett Fox, and the chapter that he read was resist no evil. And that's what that resist no evil means. Don't get caught up in anything. Resist all that. Resist falling into that. Resist the argument. And that's where the problem. We cannot resist these things. I tell you many times that the world is very convincing, and so is your own mind. Very convincing. But it is not you. It is not you. So you have to figure out, how am I looking at this? Why am I falling for this same stuff? And you'll find that when you become a witness to your thinking and you see how your mind works, you can say, oh, I see that now. I can see the difference here. So, but the mind, or that ego part of your mind, always wants to make you think that you're the boss. And that you know everything. No one else knows a damn thing. So you get into these arguments and so forth that go nowhere. And they don't do a bit of good for you. They don't get a bit of good for the other person. And they certainly raise havoc in all relationships. In all relationships. It's the ego, and it wants to tangle your ego up with somebody else's ego. And egos are horrible. Egos are horrible. And the other thing about egos, they're everywhere. We all have one. But we have to learn how to control that ego. And to see it, say, well, that's my ego. I'm not going to do that right now, you see. And it loves to tell you, you better fight for yourself, you better do this, that, and the other. Fighting gets you absolutely nowhere. Fighting will get you absolutely nowhere. You may think that you have won, but we never win, do we? That's what's wrong with the world. They think, go over there and punch these other people out and we'll win. We don't win by doing stuff like that. Not at all. We have to learn to become a witness to our thinking. We have to be able to put ourselves out there and see and feel what the other person is feeling. What the other person is feeling. There's only one mind. It has to work in harmony. And you can tell when you're upset and so forth, or if you're in an argument or whatever, you don't feel good. Why don't you feel good? Because you're out of harmony. You're out of harmony with everything. You have to bring yourself back to the center, and you have to find that harmony once again. And it doesn't matter, you know. Nothing is right or wrong, but the mind make it so. Nothing is right or wrong, but the mind make it so. Your mind is making it. You know, I can make my mind up in one direction. You can make your mind up in another direction. But we don't fight. You cannot fight. You must become a witness to your thinking and see what your mind is doing to you. So, I watch my mind all the time, and I can tell you, sometimes it's nothing but a cesspool. It's just dreadful what my mind does. I have to sit down and correct that and say, I don't want to be that person. I don't want those thoughts. I don't want to be that way. Because you can be, be prejudiced, you can do all that kind of stuff, you see, and what good does it do? And you go, your mind will say, yeah, but everyone else is doing it, or those people deserve it, or this, that. No one deserves it, and you don't deserve to do that to yourself. You do not deserve to do that to yourself. So watch movements of your mind, become a witness to your own thinking. It's just witnessing something. And that means you are detached. You are detached from that. The Buddhists use the word become mindful. Become mindful of what you're saying and doing. Most people never hear what they're saying, you know. They never hear a thing they're saying. They never know how much hurt they're putting out there. Hurting people. Don't hurt people. Getting cold. Don't hurt people. Remember my friend Betty? She's made her transition. Said to me when I was in college, she said, Dallas, it's easy for you to hurt. Why don't you learn to heal? And that made absolute sense to me. Why do I want to go around hurting people? I can learn to heal. And that's what we're trying to do. We're learning to heal ourselves. We're learning to heal other people. And we're learning to heal the world itself. And only we can do that with our thinking. When we get enough people in a collective consciousness thinking the same thing, we can change the world. We can change the world. And that's what we have to do. And we do that by becoming a witness to our own thinking. And see, what am I thinking about? And what am I bringing about? You see, do you remember that little saying? What you think about, you bring about. You must think the right things. And people don't, you know. One moment they're thinking this, one moment they're thinking that, and it doesn't come. Do you remember the mental equivalent by Emmett Fox? Remember, he said you must stay focused on what you want. It's like putting something in front of a camera lens, and if you keep putting something else in front of it and taking that away, when you develop that film, it's just going to be a blur, right? Because you did that. And that's what you do with your own mind. You don't want your mind to be a blur. You want to be focused on what you're thinking. You want to be focused on what you're doing. It's done with focus. And not giving up regardless, you see. Not giving up regardless. Don't become negative. Christine is working on not becoming negative or not being around negative people. They're the worst people in the world, negative people. Excuse me. And they believe that. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't try to argue with people anymore. If they think it's that way, I let them go and I go on to myself. It's the whole idea is I don't live in that universe. I don't live in their world. I don't want to live in their world. It doesn't do you any good to live in all that and to live in negativity. And most people are loaded with all the little negatives, which they think are facts. You know, they think that it's absolutely true that crime happens every 3 seconds or whatever they say. I don't believe any of those statistics. I will not believe any of those statistics, you see. And the same with, everyone is bad and this, that, and everything. Well, I don't happen to know any bad people. Somebody once said about somebody in prison, I said, well, I don't know anyone in prison. I'm sorry that people wind up there. But I'm not going to get involved with prisoners. And I'm not going to attract prisoners into my life. I'm going to attract decent human beings in my life that want to give me something and I want to give them something. You know, it's always the back and forth. You learn something from somebody and you give them something, they give you something. That's why we're all around here. We're learning. We are absolutely learning from each other. And we must continue to do that. And you can learn faster if you become a witness to your own thinking. A witness to your own thinking. And then focus on what you really want. And not all this other stuff that goes on. I don't buy into any of that stuff that's out there. I live a completely different life. If people knew the life I live, they would say, oh, that can't be possible. But it is absolutely possible. I know because I do it all the time. So don't buy into the world. And there, you must watch your mind and become a witness so that you don't eat up everything that the world throws at you. And right now the world's throwing quite a few things and I just don't pay attention to it. I look at it, I notice it, I'm not naive, my head is not in the sand, but I do not buy into it. I detach myself from those things. Does that make me a Pollyanna? I don't think so. I think it makes me realistic. Because if we all became positive, wouldn't that be wonderful? That the whole world would be positive? Could you imagine the joy and stuff? I love music and so forth. And I come home and I turn that television set on and all it wants to show me is Law and Order 24/7. You know, I want to see beautiful things. I don't want to see all that Law and Order stuff and all those people, whatever they do. I don't know them. So why am I watching people do stuff like that? I'm never going to live that life. Why do I want to watch stuff like that? Why can't we watch beautiful things? I think someday we'll be able to see just nothing but beauty around. If we constantly watch Law and Order and all the criminal shows and all that stuff that's on, we're producing more of it. We are producing more of it. And we have to say, this is not what I want to see on my television set. I want to see some beauty. I want to see some goodness. I want to see those things. Of course, when I say that, don't think I'm talking about those televangelists. I still watch them. Where their minds are is absolutely beyond me. The only one that's really of any good is Joel Osteen, yes, because he is a closeted metaphysician.
Absolutely.
And one day he'll burst out and say that, you know. He'll burst out. The trouble with all those people and priests, there are a lot of priests, you know, that are metaphysical, but they can't do anything about it because they bought into the doctrines of the Catholic Church. Now they've put themselves into a box they cannot think out of. It must be dreadful for them because they know perfectly well that some of that stuff is hogwash that they're teaching. It is not correct. It's just not correct, but they've done it for so long, they start to believe it themselves. This is what you must notice. What are these people trying to do to me? Everyone wants us to think their way. The world wants us to think their way. That's why this Joel Goldsmith thing about being hypnotized by our culture into believing that we are less than expressions of God. We must remember that we are expressions of the divine. What that is, I have no idea. I've been trying to figure it out. I may get it figured out before I make my transition, and I may not. But I don't care. You see, if it happens, it happens. What I care about is what my mind is doing to me. Am I watching the movements of my mind? Am I becoming a witness to my own thinking and to the thinking that's going on around me all the time? This is what we want to do. Otherwise, we get out there and we play a role. Because you play the role of a painter. You play the role of a real estate agent. The roles you picked up. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you have to know that the culture that you're living in forced you in those directions. It's all done with the mind, people. And we'd love to get around that. I would love to say it's not my mind, you know, that it's jury that's causing all this pain. But I can't. I have to say, Dallas, it's you. You're doing it. And then I have to change my thinking. I must become a witness to my own thinking. A witness to my own thinking. And not be afraid of my mind. Many people are afraid of their minds. They think their mind is going to do them in. If your mind is doing you in, you're doing it. The mind is not doing it. Do you understand that? You're doing it to your own self. You're doing it to your own self. Do you remember Rhoda? We loved Rhoda, and her famous thing from Rumi, excuse me, was, "Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open?" See, we put ourselves in prison all the time with our thinking, and we build walls around, and then we think we can't get out of that. You can get out of anything. You can get out of anything. That's the whole idea of life itself. You can get out of anything. And you get out of anything by forgiving. By forgiving yourself and by forgiving other people. Everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. No one is really out to get you. If your mind tells you that, then you have to straighten your mind out. Many people think that the whole world is against them. The world is not against anything. The world doesn't have any consciousness whatsoever. And, excuse me, the universe has a consciousness. And that consciousness is a consciousness for good. And you are one with that consciousness. Therefore, you have the power to do good. You have that. That's innate inside of you. You have a power for good. And that's all it is. That's this thing called God is nothing but life and energy and wisdom and intelligence and things, love, all those things. And we must incorporate those into our own thinking. You are one with this thing called God. And if you separate yourself in any way, shape, or form, it's not healthy. It's not healthy to be you and God. It always has to be you as God. You as God. We're not used to hearing that. And that disturbs a lot of people. If I would tell my brother that, he would be shocked to no end. He would absolutely be shocked because he's never heard it, and he wouldn't believe it because he thinks the religion, I don't know what religion he is now, but if they belong to that church and they go and they sing in the choir and all, they have performed their duty for this thing called God, and that they're terrific Christians for doing it, you see. Of course, they're very mean people. Very mean people. And they do not know it. And why don't they know it? Because they never pay attention to the movements of their mind. They never become a witness to their own thinking. It's always somebody else has caused them to think the way they're thinking. If you think anyone is causing you to think what you're thinking, you've made a mistake somewhere along the line. You have to take full responsibility excuse me, for your thinking and for everything that comes into your life. You have to say, I created this. I'm the one that's drew this into my life. And now you have power to change it. If you think somebody else is doing it and you're blaming somebody else, you can never get out of the hole that you put yourself in. You have to take responsibility. You have to say, no one is against me. I feel that way, then I must be thinking wrong. I must be against my own self. Don't be against yourself. Love yourself. Nourish yourself. Know that you are a divine expression of this thing that we call God. And that you are one with that expression. These are the things that you want to do in your life and in your mind and in your thinking. Become a witness to your thinking. Take a minute and do that every day. Say, oh, I'm controlling my mind. My mind is not controlling me. So many people allow their mind to take them any which way and think it's absolutely all right. The mind will take over if you don't take over. So, that's a wonderful book about enlightenment. I can't remember the exact title. And in that they said you must watch your mind, because if you don't, your mind is like the plantation, and the slave will burn the plantation down. And your own thinking will burn your mind down. If you don't take control of your thinking, if you don't become a witness to your own thinking, your mind will take over. Your mind will take over. So become a witness to your thinking. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. You're welcome.